Meeting in preparation for Sunday school hour about Shimei and his criticism of David, and we were talking about that in our Sunday school class. And on both sides of that story, we also are brought face to face with a man by the name of Mephibosheth and a man by the name of Ziba. And I've read about them before, of course, and I've preached about them before, but I was reminded of this story, and I thought in light of this being Thanksgiving, I might just challenge you for a few moments from the life of Mephibosheth. A longer title of the message might be, Thanksgiving is good, but Thanksgiving is better. And we can just shorten it to Thanksgiving is better. Thanksgiving. And 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 24. Now, when we are at this point, the story is that David is returning from exile. His son Absalom has died, and he's returning to Jerusalem to resume his place upon the throne. And that's where we are. So, in verse 24, Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, came down to meet David, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? So in other words, he's saying, hey, when we fled, when I left Jerusalem, why didn't you go with me? Now, you can imagine there was a lot of stuff going on at the time, and he wouldn't have been able to count everybody, but he did notice that Mephibosheth was not with him, and he wants to know why. And here's Mephibosheth's answer. And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. That would be Ziba. For thy servant said, that's me, he was speaking of himself as the servant of the king, his servant Ziba deceived him because he had said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king because thy servant is lame. So he said, I was getting ready a means of transportation to get me to you. But, verse 27, Ziba hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. And we're going to find out what that slander was in just a moment. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet did thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him, that is Ziba, take all. For as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. Now, in order to get the profit from this passage that we ought to get, we need to go backward to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9, and let's find out who Mephibosheth is. Verse number 1, David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? You know, Jonathan and David had a great friendship. Their hearts were knit together, and they made a covenant with each other to protect each other and take care of each other. Now, Jonathan is dead. King Saul is dead. But it seems that David, in the midst of his reigning in Jerusalem, remembers his covenant. And he says, I wonder, is there anybody left? So he makes an inquiry. If there's anybody left of the house of Saul. He didn't say house of Jonathan, house of Saul. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. So here's somebody who's of the house of Saul. And when they called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him. Now, you have to speculate a little bit, but he's asking if there's anybody left of the house of Saul, and he find out that there's this Ziba who's a servant. He's of the house of Saul, but he's a servant. So the indication is that Ziba's not a relative necessarily, he's just a servant in the house of Saul. And what David is looking for is blood relation, somebody who is related to or is a part of the family. And so he said, is there any yet that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Because if Ziba were who he was looking for, there he is right there. He can show him kindness, right? So Ziba's answer to the king is not, here I am. But Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. That's a picture of humility. Of course, it could be false humility because the king is pretty powerful. And when you come in the presence of the king, you're expected to show some degree of reverence and respect. David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. David said to him, fear not, don't be afraid, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant, that thou, the king, shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, the Saul's servant, and said to him, so we've already met Ziba. The king calls Ziba and says, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore, that is Ziba, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. We don't have time tonight, but let me tell you, this is a wonderful picture of salvation. He was a member of a condemned household. God had rejected Saul from being king. So you and I, our father, our great-grandfather, our ancestor Adam, was rejected, was driven out of the garden, and the inheritance taken away from him. You and I are born members of a condemned family, a condemned race. Number two, he was lame on his feet. He had been dropped in a fall and had become lame. We too are involved in the fall of Adam, and therefore we are crippled before God. We have no ability to take care of ourselves and to maintain ourselves. Now, we could develop all these points and thoughts, but we're not doing that tonight. He was dwelling in a place called Lodibar, which means literally without pasture. So he's like a sheep that's been lost. He's living outside the pasture. And the king came looking for him. And the king said, come here. And the king invited him to the house. And the king restored to him his father's lost inheritance. Everything that pertained to your father's house is yours. That's true of you and me. God has restored to us what was forfeited in the fall through grace. And by the way, he does it for Jonathan's sake, and God does it for you and I for Jesus' sake. So that's the new covenant. This is the old covenant. That's the new covenant between God the Father and God the Son on our behalf. And now he sits at the table of the king and eats bread every day. He's like one of the king's sons. And so you and I are adopted into the family, given sonship, and we dine with the king. We are the servants of the king, and he takes care of our needs. Wonderful picture of salvation. Some have gone so far as to say, you know, if you're sitting at the table, your feet are under the table. Your legs are under the table. Your feet are not seen. He was lame. So the difference between him and others was covered. They were all equal at the table. And so we're all equal at the table. We could go on and on. It's a wonderful picture of salvation. So Mephibosheth is a picture of a man who's received grace, a man who's been granted mercy, favor, not because he deserved it, but because of a covenant made between the king and his friend Jonathan. And he's being faithful to his word, faithful to his covenant. And so God covenanted with Christ to take us back and to redeem us. And so we are also recipients of grace and seated at the king's table. So are you with me? That's the picture. That's who this guy is, Mephibosheth. He's a recipient of grace. He's been brought into the king's family. Now we go to chapter number 16. 2 Samuel 16. David is now fleeing. So when we started the story in chapter 19, he was coming back to Jerusalem. Right now he's on his way out of Jerusalem, leaving because of Absalom's rebellion. In chapter 16 and verse 1, when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled and upon them 200 loaves of bread. 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. They're pretty heavily loaded down with supplies. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? I'm not going to deal with that tonight, but that's a good question. When somebody comes bearing gifts, you might do well to pause and ask yourself, what do you mean by this? When God comes bearing gifts, you don't have to ask that question. When man comes bearing gifts, you better stop and ask yourself, what are you up to? What are you looking for? What do you want? What's this all about? Now, maybe it may be quite innocent, but it was a good question. The king was wise enough to say, this is seems to be overdoing it a little bit, overkill. What's up? What are you up to? And Ziba answered him. Now, remember, Ziba has been made the servant of Mephibosheth. And his sons and all their household serve Mephibosheth, who's been granted a position at the king's table. Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. So he's basically saying, I just thought about what it was going to be like to be on this journey and how I could be a blessing to you and to your men and to your family. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? So in other words, you, the servant of Saul, Saul was your master. Where's his boy? Where's his grandson? Where's Mephibosheth? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. He stayed home. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. So it basically said, Mephibosheth is betraying you. Mephibosheth believes that because of the rebellion against you, that the house is going to come back to his house. That wasn't true at all. Absalom was of the house of David. He wasn't of the house of Saul. So if the kingdom goes to Absalom, it's still the house of David, right? And so he's lying. He's just out. He's just saying no. He's lying. And when we read in chapter 19, the king said, why didn't you come with me? Remember what Mephibosheth said? He said, I was getting ready. I was saddling an ass to come because I'm lame on my feet. And that's where the story ended. All he did was say, thy servant slandered me to the king, to my lord the king. What you've heard is not true. But he doesn't go through to rehearse it. So the indication is that Ziba, and it's natural, jealousy. Here he is, the servant of Saul. Here he is with a huge family to take care of. And some little lame boy living in a nowhere place, a nobody, is brought in and given elevated position over him and is placed at the table, and he eats at the king's table, and Ziba and his sons all spend their days working for Mephibosheth and taking care of Mephibosheth. What's more likely than not is that Ziba saw this as an opportunity to get in good graces with the king when the king returns, that he would be elevated, and sure enough, the king swallows it. David said, everything that was Mephibosheth is now yours. And Ziba answered, false humility, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my Lord, O king. So here we have a picture of Mephibosheth, a man saved by grace, redeemed by grace, sees himself as unworthy, calls himself a dead dog, and humbles himself in the presence of the king. And the king gives him everything and restores to him this wonderful position. And when the opportunity comes, somebody who has been made to serve him now sees an opportunity, lies about him. The king goes away. Now the king comes back. And he asks Mephibosheth, why did you not go with me? And that's where we were in chapter 19. So go back there. And I want to point out to you the attitude of gratitude or thanks living as illustrated in the life of Mephibosheth concerning David. Notice first of all in verse 24, Mephibosheth came down to meet the king, had neither dressed his feet. The idea is he had not bathed them or he had not clipped his toenails. He had not done anything that you would do normally to dress your feet, to make your feet clean and attractive and healthy. He'd not done that, nor trimmed his beard. They all had beards in that day, or it was quite an honor to have a beard. They might not have any on the upper lip, the mustache, or a few other places, but they did have a beard from ear to ear, and they did trim it. But if you were in grief, if you were in sorrow or despair of heart, or you were distraught, you would often not do that. It was a sign. It was a testimony of your brokenness, of your sorrow, of your suffering. And so he had not trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And I'm not getting in tonight to how many days that was. It's not important. It was more than just a few. And so the indication is that Mephibosheth had stopped the day that the king left Jerusalem and went out to dwell in caves or outside the city where he perhaps would not have a shower available to him or a bathtub available to him or the modern conveniences available to him. All the comforts of home were being given up by the king. He refused to live in comfort while his king did not live in comfort. And he wanted to show his solidarity with the king. He wanted to demonstrate by his outward appearance. So be careful now. I don't want you to fall into the trap of the Pharisees. Well, the Pharisees were always concerned with the outward appearance, and they wanted to appear to men to be fasting and appear to all of that. That was for a false motive. But if you truly were grieving, if you truly longed for the king and truly loved your king and he was gone and missing, then a sign of grief would be that you wouldn't take care of yourself. You would, the ordinary things that would occupy your time and attention would not, because your heart is wrapped up in your loss. And so I'm going to say to you that living a thankful life is evidenced by valuing our king, showing he's worth more to us than personal comfort and convenience. It's amazing the Christianity of the 21st century when we have people that are living in palaces, as it were, gated enclosed mansions and flying jets and professing to be the servants of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, the Son of Man hath not a place to lie his head. Foxes have dens and others, I forget how it all goes, but he said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He who was rich became poor for our sakes, that we through his poverty might be made rich. How do we show our empathy with the Lord Jesus? By living in wealth and comfort and convenience. That's not wrong to have wealth. It's wrong for wealth to have you. And he said, I'm not going to allow comfort to consume me. I'm ready to sacrifice because of my love for the king. And by the way, where's your king today? Where's my king? He's in exile. He came unto his own received him not. They rejected him, but he still accomplished his purpose and has gone away and said, I'll come again in anticipation of his return. What is it that you love so much about him that you would deny yourself while on this earth? Is there anything at all that is a comfort or convenience that I'm ready to sacrifice out of thanksgiving to God? I had nothing. I was nothing. I was going nowhere like Mephibosheth. And all of a sudden, the king in his mercy and grace showed up at my door and gave me an invitation to come and be a part of his family and to sit at his table and to promise to meet my needs. Am I grateful? If I truly am, I suggest there will be some evidence of that in my readiness to sacrifice some of the convenience and comforts of this world. Then I want you to notice in verse number 27, again he answered the king by simply saying, he slandered thy servant. Ziba has slandered me. What he told you is not true. But, my Lord the king is as an angel of God. By the way, it's interesting. He's not the only one. There's some other people who said that about David. Would to God it would be said of you and me that we would be as angels of God, messengers of God, as those in whom they see the face of God, see the mercies of God. But that's another message as well. My Lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. I'm not here to defend myself. I'm just going to tell you simply, he lied. He lied. But whatever you think is right. So he's saying that my gratitude for what you have meant to me is more important than my personal rights and privileges. Or I suppose here it would be more proper to say more important to me than my reputation. I'm not going to defend myself. You judge. You make the decision. I trust your judgment. I trust you. I just commit all the things to me. I've been ill-treated. I've been slandered. Folks have spoken evil of me and misrepresented me, but I trust your judgment. My Lord the King is more important to me than my personal reputation. Is that true in your life and mine? Are we so thankful for his mercy and grace that we don't care what anybody else says about us or thinks about us? Are we so involved in loving him and so grateful to him that we don't fret and stew over what others say or do regarding us? Do we have that kind of confidence in our king? And then verse 28, all of my father's house were but dead men before my Lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that it eat at thine own table. Watch this now. What right? Everybody today is concerned about their rights. I have a right to this. I have a right to that. You've offended me. You violated my rights. What right do I have? I'm a dead man walking. That's what he's saying. He said, my whole family was dead. We were condemned. We were in the fall, and I was a dead man, but I'm walking and living as your son. What right do I have anymore to cry unto the king? I don't consider myself to have any claim upon you, any rights or privileges. I've already exhausted that. You and your mercy and grace have been so good to me. I have no more right to cry unto the king. So he's saying, my gratitude makes me value you more than having my rights addressed, my reputation, my privileges. And then finally, you notice the king says, and I don't understand all of this. And, you know, I do give David some grace. The Bible says David's a man after God's own heart. And there's a lot of things we could say about David, bad and good. David is a busy man. He's a king. Everybody's demanding his attention. He's dealing with Shimei, cursing him. And now, what's he going to do with Shimei now that he's returning? He's dealing with Ziba. There's a lot of people that we don't even know about that the scripture hasn't recorded their names. He's got a lot on his plate. There's a lot of emotion going on. His son has died, and all of this is going on. And so David's making some decisions here that I scratch my head and say, David, you ought to be a little more careful than that. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, to him it's folly and shame. And you're dismissing this situation. One has made a statement. The other one said it's not right. And you're not investigating it like Solomon, your son, will do when he takes the throne because God gave him wisdom. There's just something that bothers me about that. But nonetheless, I mean, every story in the Bible can't be clearly, every detail can't be clearly correlated to our lives. But the king just simply says, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I've said, thou and Ziba divide the land. So first he took it all and gave it everything to Mephibosheth and said to Ziba, you and your household are going to serve him. Then when Ziba tells him that Mephibosheth stayed home thinking that he's going to get the throne back, that his family's going to be restored to the throne, David said to Ziba, you can have it all. And now he says, thou and Ziba divide the land. It's okay, you can have half of it. As if I don't have time to deal with this. So whether or not David's fair or not, that's the reality of the story. So what does Mephibosheth, how does he respond to that? He's been slandered. It's not true. It's not right. How does he respond to that? His statement is verse 30, yea, let him, that is Ziba, take all. He can have it all. Let him take all. Why? For as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. He's saying, all I value in life is you and your presence and you being at home on your throne and you being in peace. That means more to me than property. That means more to me than possessions. You are more valuable to me. My life is a life of gratitude, and I am so grateful to you for what you've done that I don't care anymore about property. I don't care about possessions. All I care about, all that I have cared about since I've become a member of your household, is that you be in peace, that you be okay, that you be honored. And so let him have everything. Total lack of discontentment and a total expression of contentment and satisfaction, even though somebody else gets everything. I'm going to tell you, that's a life of thanks living, not just a life of thanksgiving. That's thanks living. Not asking God anymore for anything. Not demanding anything. Not expecting anything. Being willing to bear injustice. Being willing to suffer or to do without. That's thanks living. That's gratitude. Based on the reality that you were dead and without hope until the king came. And he made you alive again. And gave you a place at his table. And by the way, if you remember, he said, he will sit at my table continually. There's going to be no end to this. This is a continuing process. I'm never going to be excused from the table. I'm never going to be dismissed from the table. My place at the table will never be denied. And how do I repay him? By demanding my rights? By demanding to be heard? By demanding comfort and convenience? By demanding possessions and unwilling to share them or unwilling to allow him to make the decision to give them to another, even though the other has not been faithful or not been true? Even if it means that my reputation is sullied? How much do you love him? This is real thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is good, but thanksgiving is better. May the Lord help us to be challenged by Mephibosheth's example. And to make that decision to live a life of thanksgiving and gratitude. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being together tonight and for including this record. And there is a lot around the story that we're not privy to, but you have given us the details that we have. And we must assume that in what has been said is enough for us and what you wanted us to receive and what you wanted us to learn. And Father, I pray tonight that you would enable us to honestly examine our own heart and see where we are. Is our spirit like the spirit of Ziba or the spirit of Mephibosheth? Both lived in the king's household. Both had been shown mercy by the king. But one was looking for more and expecting more and willing to lie and deceive and The other was just content to have the king, and that's all he wanted, and nothing else mattered. Lord, I pray that you would build in me this spirit of gratitude, this spirit of thanks, and that I might not only give thanks, but that I might learn to live thanks, and I pray your people would be able to do the same. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Pianist is going to play. I don't know that there's any need to give an invitation tonight, but I know that the Spirit of God speaks through His